And joining us right now is David Wild. David is going to be hosting a show called Musicians, airing on Bravo every Monday night at 10 o'clock at night. And what an incredible packed month you have, just the first month alone.
Yeah, no, we have everyone from Lou Reed to Barry Manilow, so I think we've got quite a range.
Yeah, I mean, Blondie and Tony Bennett and Sheryl Crow, Alanis Morissette, some really incredible guests. And tell us a little bit about the show. I assume it's kind of like what we're doing here and trying to get behind the subject and interview people in a kind of a friendly setting and let them play a little bit of music. Is that pretty much what you're doing on there?
Yeah, it's very much a sort of show and tell. You know, Bravo has had a lot of success with the Inside the Actor Studio show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that same spirit, it's sort of like trying to figure out who these people are and why they make the music that they make. So, you know, you might have Sheryl Crow come out, and she does one of her biggest hits, and then I introduce her, and we talk, and she has a guitar with her. So throughout the show, I'm asking questions, and she's, you know, playing virtually anything I beg her to do. So, you know, Barry Manilow, by the same token, you know, we could hardly stop him from playing. So there's a lot of music, a lot of conversation, and I think it's a little, you know, it feels fresh on television.
It's a nice idea. I like the show. I saw a couple of the screeners, and it looked pretty good.
Great.
It's interesting, and it has a nice flow to it, so that's good. Your background, of course, is writing. You're a contributing editor to Rolling Stone, but you've also written some of the things that we have seen. I'm a big Behind the Music fan from VH1, and I know you were responsible by writing some of the episodes, especially the one, the Cat Stevens episode that got nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah, that was an incredibly unique experience, a great experience. I grew up loving Cat Stevens, so to have the chance to go to London and do those interviews and work on that show was really quite a thrill and a unique one, because you don't usually, in rock and roll, you don't usually end up studying the Quran to sort of figure out how a person's mind works. But it was very, that was an amazing experience. And in fact, being on a lot of those Behind the Musics as one of the talking heads, I think it helped prepare me for trying to venture into being on camera. In fact, at the Grammys last year, the NSYNC guys came up to me and said that I was actually overexposed, which I think if the boy bands think you're overexposed, then you must be at least getting some TV coverage.
I think so. That's definitely a benchmark. That Cat Stevens one was fascinating, though, because I'm a huge Cat Stevens fan, and what that guy did is just an amazing metamorphosis he pulled.
Yeah, you know, it's a unique story in the entertainment world, and the funny thing is, when he was Cat Stevens, I would go back and watch and read his interviews. He really had very little to say, but today, he's one of the most interesting guys you could talk to, and clearly, post-September 11th, things have gotten more complicated for him, and he put out a brilliant box set that I recommend. I'm sure have you gotten it yet?
Yes.
I recommend everyone check it out, but he has a lot to say. It's just harder and harder for him to be heard, but I agree with you. I think he's one of the most undervalued artists, singer-songwriters around.
September 11th, since you mentioned it, resulted in the September 21st All-Network Telethon, America, a Tribute to Heroes, which was covered by everybody, pretty much. It was on every network you could think of. And, boy, the head writer is a familiar name, too. It was you.
Yeah, well, that was the other, I think, in addition, probably the most unique experience I could ever have. Joel Gallen, who's the executive producer, who I'm actually with today working on another show, got the call to put the show together, and he called me on a Friday night and said, they're talking about doing some sort of show. Would you be the head writer? And I said, well, let me even try to figure out what the tone of this show would be, because, you know, I write a lot of sort of, I've written comedy shows, I've written more serious shows, I've written White House specials, but this was a unique challenge, and we had no time. So I actually wrote that opening speech, which Tom Hanks delivered, right at that moment, sent it to him and said, is this sort of the tone of the show? And once we had a tone, we didn't sleep, and we got the show on the air, and I'm very, very honored to have been a part of it, because even though I didn't get paid, I found it to be the most rewarding experience of my life.
Well, it certainly generated a ton of money.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm certainly glad for that. At least we could feel like we were, you know, helping in some small way.
I think besides the money, too, at least from this perspective, I thought it was a healing experience for the nation as well.
Well, that's what I realized doing that show was during the first rehearsal that we had with Stevie Wonder. And when he came down and played, I remember all of us just sort of like, it was the first time any of us felt any sort of sense of healing, just as you said, and it made me realize that even though music may sometimes not be viewed as being as powerful today as it once was, music does still unite us in a way nothing else can.
Hmm.
And that's when I came to do the show, this musician show, I tried to keep that in mind, that we wanted to do a show that took music seriously, because music has a very important place in our lives.
I know you were the head writer of last year's Grammy Awards. I understand.
Yeah, just one of the writers.
Yeah, I understand. Are you the head writer this year?
No, you know, it's not. It's John Stewart writes. Ken Ehrlich, the producer, writes. Usually another one of John's comedy friends and I. So it's very much a team coverage.
Collaboration.
Yes.
And what do you think some of the surprises might be this year in the Grammys coming up?
I think the biggest surprise is how great the nominations are. I mean, I think people, for once, have been praising the nominations as being kind of appropriate. And, I'm looking for, I have to say I'm of the right age that I root for you two and Dylan. I root for anybody who's older than I am.
I think Alicia Keys is going to do pretty well, too.
Yeah, you know, as well she should. You know, she was actually wonderful in the telethon as well, that version she did of the Donny Hathaway song.
Yeah, she's an incredible new talent.
I agree with you.
And there aren't that many of them.
No.
I don't know about you, but because I know you're a contributing writer for Rolling Stone. Obviously, you've been writing for a while, but you're younger than I am because you graduated in the 80s when I graduated in the 70s in college. But for me, it seems to me like when I was growing up, the music from the mid-60s, the British invasion, all that kind of stuff, through the early 70s, seemed to be, in my estimation, some of the best music ever produced in the world. What we're hearing now, I don't think it pales to it. And I think that's the reason why things like VH1 and oldies radio are succeeding so much. And I think it's true about the TV shows in a way, too, which is why Nick at Night does so well on some of these other stations. Is it my age, or is it, you think, any truth to that?
I think the truth is it's our age, and there's truth to it. The truth is we're getting older, and the pop culture is maybe getting a little shallower and a little bit more disposable. But I hold out hope because, every time you count any art form out, something comes and saves it. You know, you can say the sitcom's dead and then there's a Seinfeld. You can say, rock and roll, hard rock is no longer exciting like it was when there was Hendrix, and then Kurt Cobain comes around. So I'm hoping for the next great singer-songwriter. That's always what to me it's about songs. That's what I respond to, great songs, great lyrics, great tunes. And I'm hoping that I think we need a few more great songwriters. I think that there's nothing wrong with our culture that a few great songwriters wouldn't help.
I'm going to assume that you have a room like mine full of CDs. I actually had to build a room.
I have two young boys, so gradually all my music rooms are getting replaced by toy rooms.
Hmm.
I still hold on to I think 10 or 20,000 of them.
Yeah, I have quite a collection here, too. But, of course, my kids are now getting into it as well. They're old enough now that they grab the NSYNC stuff and the Britney Spears and all that, which I don't mind. I don't mind that disappearing from the collection. But it's interesting to see that they're expanding their now my son's got Gary Lewis and the Playboys and Tommy James in his room. So.
Yeah, my kids are really 2 and 4, and they're really into Neil Diamond now. Ever since I'm a Believer was covered in Shrek.
Yeah, Smash Mouth did that.
I'm living in a house of Neil Diamond fans.
Yeah, it's funny that you mention that, because Smash Mouth's version of I'm a Believer got my kids into the Monkees.
Yeah, see, it works. It gets them into the good stuff eventually.
I always tell the story that one of the kids in our neighborhood walked over to me one day a few years ago, and he said, hey, Mr. Snyder, you're a radio guy. Do you know that there's a new group called The Doors Out?
Exactly.
And I'm like, wow, really? He said, yeah, they're unbelievable. I just heard them the other day. And
well,
he was telling me, then he said to me, he said, do you know that Paul McCartney was in a group before Wings?
He was?
It's pretty funny when you hear things like that, though,
Yeah, that's why I hope that show, the show we're doing, I hope it educates a generation, because there might be kids who don't know who Lou Reed is or don't know he was in the Velvet Underground and who don't know Tony Bennett is, and we hope to reintroduce it.
Yeah, Lou Reed, I think that may not be as well known by some of the new generation, but of course Tony Bennett's crossover into MTV has made him someone that some of the young kids are aware of.
Right.
Not that they go out and buy his records.
Right.
But
we'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting. So far, out of all the people you've spoken to, and I hate this question because people ask me the same thing, but I'm going to ask you anyway. I'll turn the tables. Who do you think was the most interesting musician you've talked to or singer?
In my life,
yeah.
Everybody who I grew up loving are the most exciting to me, but I think big surprises, I mean, Tony Bennett on the show was a big surprise because my father, who's a lifelong fan, came to the taping, and afterwards he goes, "I've been a fan of Tony Bennett all my life. I never knew he had so much to say."
Uh-huh.
And I hope that that's what people come away, you know, from watching the show with.
Right.
We'll see.
It's funny that I have the same feelings, you know, when I interview people who I grew up watching, whether it's on TV or listening to the music, and it always has a special thrill for me where it may not be for some of the listeners who aren't my age.
Yeah, but I think it's just a product of, you know, whenever you grew up, you know, that's really the people who you think of as the real stars.
Yeah. What do you think about the Super Bowl?
You know, I'm in the thick of it. I'm right next door doing the CBS special, which is on Friday night. You know, I think I'm hoping New England pulls it out. What do I know?
There you go. Well, that's a good thing to say in a Boston radio
station.
That's
right. See, I wasn't even targeting it to the locale, but it's true. I want the Patriots.
Well, I think they're going to win.
Great.
They're going to surprise everybody.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll all have something to celebrate.
Yeah, and again, you already have something to celebrate because Monday is starting February 4th on Bravo, Musicians premieres, and that features you. You're the man. You're the man.
Post-Super Bowl party. Please tune in.
That's right, after the Super Bowl, right? On Monday.
Just the next day.
When you say, well, if they're awake by then, if the hangovers have gone away, they can kick and tune in the next night. You actually also wrote some other books. You know, you probably don't remember because I barely did either, but I actually had you on my other radio shows talking about The Friends Official Companion, and
yes,
also you did something about Seinfeld at one point, too.
Yep, I did those books, and, you know, I have to confess, there's more to me than music.
Yeah, and you also wrote another one that I had you on for, too, because I'm looking in my collection here. I've interviewed you three times before this, and I had completely forgot this because it just wasn't in my head. But you also wrote something about Melrose Place, which at one point was my favorite show.
Well, exactly. At one point, it's ancient history, but I remember a time when I liked that show. But
it was a great show.
Yeah, no, at its peak, the early years, it was quite a great show.
And it's interesting because when I meet up with people now who starred in that show at one point or another, that one in 90210, I always get a special kick out of interviewing them. You know, and it's great to see Kristen Davis, you know, be so successful in Sex and the City after her stint on Melrose Place.
Yeah, and Courtney Thorne-Smith is doing really well now on this new Jim Belushi show, so you never can...
Yeah, I like Courtney on Ally McBeal, too. I was kind of surprised when she left, but she had a lover named Billy on that one, too, so...
Great. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome, and good luck with the new show on Bravo on Monday nights at 10 o'clock. It's called Musicians with David Wilde. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.